With a nomination hearing today for the possible new Energy Secretary, we have a reminder about what the Energy Department does for a living. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry is headed to Capitol Hill this morning for a Senate hearing for Energy Secretary. That's a job that's often misunderstood, even, it seems, by Governor Perry himself. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here live. What does the Energy Department do? I mean, you'd think it would be about the big energy source, fossil fuel.
Yeah, a lot of people assume that it's an oil and gas regulator, more or less, but most of that actually falls under the Department of the Interior. So about two-thirds of the energy budget goes to nuclear issues, nuclear safety, nuclear cleanups, managing the country's nuclear arsenal, and a lot of the rest is focused on scientific research into energy. Tracy Terry with the Bipartisan Policy Center says that research has a broad scope.
Everything from particle physics to fusion to capturing carbon dioxide to how to make a better solar panel.
And Rick Perry will be in charge of all of this if he gets the tap. What are some of the issues we might hear about in the hearings?
So one of the criticisms of Perry as a pick for energy has been that he's not a scientist. The Obama administration's two energy secretaries have been a physicist and a nuclear physicist. Perry has also called for the Department of Energy to be eliminated. His Republican supporters say he'll be a great manager of a complicated operation.
And what industries will be watching the hearing closely today?
Well, I covered a place for Marketplace in Ohio, Piketon, where almost all the well-paying jobs are under the Department of Energy. So that's a huge cleanup related to earlier nuclear weapons production. And these are high-tech, high-security operations that depend on this federal funding year in, year out. Research is the other big area. Tracy Terry thinks the Republican focus is likely to shift toward fossil fuel technology, though she says with Perry, nothing is necessarily off the table.
Texas is an all-of-the-above state, right? They've got an enormous amount of wind. They've got enormous amount of oil and gas production. So I think he might have some interesting views on some of these issues.
So it's people who are working on clean energy technologies that are maybe expecting to see the most change under this administration.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. Let's check the live markets here. The FTSE index in London is down 0.5%. The Dow future is down 7 points. And Japan's Nikkei stock index went up 0.9% today, an outcome that obscures an awful Thursday for two famous Japanese companies. Stock in the industrial conglomerate company Toshiba closed down 16% amid concerns about the future of its nuclear power businesses. And stock in the embattled automobile airbag company Takata closed down 17% amid signs the company may invoke bankruptcy protections to shield itself from liability in the defective airbags cover-up. We're looking at personal finance on this week of the inauguration. And what is the big money question in America the day before the dawn of the Trump administration? Arguably, who benefits and who loses when the federal tax system gets overhauled? And what might this mean around American kitchen tables? Lily Batchelder, a professor of law in public policy at New York University, she's been studying this. She was deputy director of the National Economic Council in the Obama White House. Thanks for coming into our D.C. Bureau.
Thank you so much for having me.
How will it affect our pocketbooks?
Just to go through a couple examples, let's say you're a family earning $10,000 to $20,000. So maybe you're a full-time minimum wage worker. Under his plan, you'd receive a tax cut on average of $120. Then if you're lucky enough to be a family earning over $1 million, your average tax cut would be about $317,000, which is more than 14% of your income. So as a share of your income, the tax cut for millionaires is about 18 times larger. But there are also millions of individual families who would see their taxes go up under his plan. Single-parent families would face a tax increase if their income's between $20,000 and $200,000, according to the Tax Policy Center.
Now, you and I are here looking at the specifics and doing the accounting here, but more broadly, Donald Trump insists that he will tell congressional committees drafting his plan that whatever they do, they're not allowed to raise taxes for low or middle income Americans. Maybe that pressure from the bully pulpit will, from the perspective of lower income Americans, fix this.
So I think it's very possible that any tax package could fix this problem of tax increases. But it wouldn't fix the problem that the plan is heavily skewed towards tax cuts for the most wealthy. And that's the case in the House Republican plan as well. They get 3/4 of the value of all of the tax cuts.
So what do you make of it when you see the person tapped by the Trump team to become the next Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, was on TV saying there will be no absolute tax cut for the upper class. There will be a big tax cut for the middle class, but any tax cuts we have for the upper class will be offset by less deductions. I mean, that was a pretty stark promise.
It is fundamentally different from what either President-elect Trump or the House Republican plan have proposed. But if they are, you know, interested in entirely shifting their plan, I think that would be great to target the benefits on low and middle income households.
Lily Batchelder is a professor of law and public policy at NYU. She also served as deputy director of the White House National Economic Council. Professor, thank you for this.
Thank you for having me.
The hearing for the man who could become the next U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is scheduled to start in just over 3 hours. We'll be covering that. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.